chance to go through it today. Today we joined by another woman in America, who should also say welcome. And nice to have somebody from the ISPA. Since other woman has left, we have met anyone. And I'm a bit curious. I'm sure it goes to other members as well. Yeah, welcome. But can you just get an indication if you get a copy of the picture of life?
Copy everything.
It's quite everything.
But I haven't taken it.
Okay, what we'll do is then we'll go through page by page so that you remember any comments per page, additions, corrections, whatever the case may be, then they're able to do so. Is that fine? Members, can I get your response for direction? Can we agree on that? Can we go through?
Yeah.
And then I think that's like the two of them. All of them. Anyway, page one. printed term 15, these are for our recommendation. Those are cut.
Okay.
Of the total budget. With quarter
14. Thank you.
picture of the equipment.
Thank you.
done ministry before? Oh, before being the center. I think there are many noted issues related to the impact in the project, which we did discuss with Martin and John and Ian, to say that we can't really comment on issues of impact before we are exposed to it. So as a result, we had to change the process. So those are the issues in the main phase. Meaning, then we specify what dangerous occurrences are referred to. is a connotation of Leviticus, it's Alamania temptation. It was given to us, but we have to have a look as to what were the issues then. And it was quite specific to give an indication what I was thinking about of danger of occurrence. And if there's interest, there were so many in the previous financial year, there were so many in the next year, and at present we are at or whatever it is. Martin, you have that one? Noted? Anything else on page 24? Sorry? Faces challenges in ensuring improvement in the levels of compliance by companies. Sure, out of what will be presented to us when you did bring your report, you can have a look at that just to get a clean indication. Because if you say that the level of compliance by companies in the sector are still a challenge in one way. Because if I remember correctly, one of the complaints or one of the issues was that there isn't enough capacity to bring them up for us to do those inspections. Now, what makes you determine the fact that there's a challenge in the people to go out to do those practically for out to do those inspections so they can then institute sanctions where they are. So I just thought that should be more specific. Thank you. said earlier in the meeting then, I'm requesting the order now. I was considering you trying to comment, Honorable Member, can you please press your mic and say what you have to say?
It drives one of the very key areas of policy. thing the point is to do it, that they are not what you should see if they do open the vision.
I think they also indicated the trade by way of the trust participatory. To prevent trust. Then it will also be another issue of what is called. Should we give the answer to the thing here? Yeah, don't you want to tell me? Yeah, but let's give an indication by way of the trust. Also, we should continue.
Yeah, it means that we get boosted.
It says that I don't have my document for that, but I think they indicated even then we would have to put it. Maybe we should first look at it and then
I'll
just remember.
I think from the indication that it must be finalized by the end of summer because of certain documents that is to be set by policies. I'm sure it was the end of
it. But would it then, please? Then there's the one on the Department of Mineral Resources should be quarterly report to the committee in taking progress for the implementation of the action plan for the clean audit going forward. Qualified for from 2012, the report should be sent to the whether they are accompanied by the presentation at the committee. And that is a statement, of course. It means we need to say. Yeah.
in this, and we wanted the politician, the department, and even the department to the top. And this department is in Maryland on our question. As we indicated earlier, it is our responsibility as a to make sure that we enhance the work that they are doing. And the only way we can do that is to take decisions. And we'll ask you to run faster in ensuring that the work is not there.
Sounds good. Each and every recommendation the Department of Mineral Resources
Second is unnumeration with dinner, those points, yeah. Then you can also be more specific in terms of time frames. You see, this is virtual minimal progress. Both should be a way for us to say, we won't expect to the next time come before the first time. And as part of what the agency said, areas that were under witness in the department, and which prevent them from the short clean audits that is possible from their side. I don't know.
Thank you, Chairperson. I actually want to check in with the President that the department, according to the auditor general, is one of the departments that has not had too much of a problem. That's why we have to make sure that where there is a challenge, we have to make sure that we beat them up. And one of the ways to beat them up is to say, where you have a problem, make sure that next time you come in here, this is what we are expecting from you. For instance, each and every department, any they have to report to Parliament on a quarterly basis in terms of the budget. That's how it's required from them. So it's not like it's a new thing that we are requiring from them, or we are giving them an instruction. That's what is required from them. If things are going the way they should be going in Parliament, they should be coming in, when it comes to budgeting, they should be reporting to Parliament the way they are supposed to be doing it on quarterly basis. So I think what is Honorable McGinnis saying, it should be like that. So I'm just adding what you said, but instead of taking shoot, let's just say the department should display that. And if we don't give the time frame, then we wouldn't be doing our job as legislators and to be making sure that we're doing our job effectively.
So my behavior of that very short.
For me,
of course, in some instances it should be must. It must be. The wording should say they must. Because it's a recommendation that the committee gave. Don't put it as an option. Before we adjourn the report. I think basically when I was a change, I meant that I allowed you to do it. I don't see the 14. Page 27, sir. Anything on page 27, take into consideration the changes I'm going to make on all those comments, né? And including time frames, and reconsidering the word should. And it's. Right? Is there anything happened beyond this recommendation that I made? That you feel like the next one that we need to add? Then we restructure it. Is there anything else? Anything else that I'm going to say?
Does not understand the
differentiation outside the reflection good and bad. But it has calculated
was the communication between the department and each entity, which was the problem I think that was identified by both the FSC and the Auditor General. I think in our recommendation, Martin, we should say something about that, because if there's no communication between the department and each entity, it's going to have a problem. So I think that it should be said somewhere, and we should get there should be a form of reporting.
To put quite clear, I think we should be saying the Department of Mineral Resources must have engaged with their entities on issues or departmental issues before reports are sent to. Thank you. and sense of progress on the issue of relationships. They said the next parliament that all I care with is going to be focusing on the issue of relationships, because that's where a lot of the difficulties in terms of the leaders and the research and the advantage of the way that we are the issues. It's a tie cut on that talk. That's why one thing. Hey, this is the direction in a separate room. Honourable members, let's start by voting. Are we now happy with what we have discussed? Can we then adopt this with amendments as we discussed? Who moves for adoption? Thank you. Who moves for adoption? Honourable Who moves for adoption? Supported by Honourable Muhai, headed by Honourable Mwesen. Hey, Allah is. Honourable Smith?
Madam Chair, let's move forward jitters before the election.
Honourable members, can I request that take a 10-minute break? There's a lot of restlessness.
We
10 minutes and continue, but someone has been adopted. I'm sure that I'm going to get my mother's medicine to come in. Something is not like this.
Sorry, tomorrow? We're starting at 8 tomorrow. Oh, okay.
No problem. Changes we need to talk about first. I've sent Roger another issue right now.
Okay. Thank you.
course.
Thank you.
made our case application. The original minutes a month within the prescribed period of the date of our section 25 of the right to apply to inspire a license for use of water in terms of the applicable legislation. The reason for the inclusion of the necessary in this decision is the advice that we've received from our stakeholders, which has been confirmed with the necessary department. That it's not necessary that in all new applications that enlarge for water use is required. So then we advise rather to then put in where necessary, so that where the new license is required, then that's attached to the applicable date, but where there's already such license in place, you don't need to then prescribe require that the new license be acquired.
Let's understand this. Which matters in water? Or what are the reasons for one to have a license for water? Let's put it this way. I'm worried about the way necessary. And yet, all my lives use water.
I think it will depend on the particular activity that the operation is engaged in. In this instance, the section deals with prospecting. And I think that some prospecting methods don't necessarily need water use, or they don't need any for water.
Then it means when they go and apply then for mining rights after prospecting, when it's a necessity, then that contributes to the difference.
Yes, that's correct.
In addition to the water use license, for a mine where underground water is being used. In certain instances, a company may have an agreement with the municipality to use processed water. In this case, a water use license is not required. And that's why we are investing in addition to the what we are saying that for a mining right, it may also not be necessary if for that mine there is an agreement between the mine and the municipality to extract water, be processed from the municipality.
But in our view, that is a control measure to ensure that it's processed water. Can I give you an example of the whole issue by name? For example,
there is an agreement between a mining company and a municipality. There are instances like that as well, where a company to mine does not necessarily require to use groundwater.
Maybe if you say, like, you mention one mine, it's a mine that is on one mine, that is big, big, understanding better. Because we are under the impression that all mines use water.
The other problem I have is this. I don't know what you use specifically or what it decides. But we have a situation in one of the areas where it's oversighted. There's no water near the mine itself. So they turned out trucks and tankers to go and draw water from a dam or a well or whatever. That's a dam. And in that dam, that same water is used by the local community. It's purified for the community to use for household use. Right? Now, this mine uses the water in the main, it's a coal mine. It uses water in the main to dampen the dust of the road. Right? You can only see the sense. They've got a problem where when they pass the area, when the trucks pass in the area, the locals are complaining of the dust they spray. So to throw an intervention on their side, they then will pump that water there and send the dust they sprinkle this water on the road. there's normally a risk of water pipes that run through the mine, running through villages and possibly into rivers, right? And contamination risks of that water are high. And there's no guarantee that that water is used for the correct reasons, as compared to the water you are then using. It can water that they can use. The sort of dirty water that they can use in the mine. And if that is not controlled under its legal issues, is what bothers me about it way next. Because there's no mine that doesn't use water. For whatever reason. If you correct me.
Well, I can think of a diamond mine. Open cut that has a right to facility and does not necessarily require consumption of water. I think we'll just have to get the specific examples of existing mines can provide the community with those. But I think we've got to apply our mind a little bit more around the example that we have provided. Surely, that is a case of breach of law, transgression of law. If somebody goes extract water in a manner that you have that you have explained, and we may just need to have a conversation with our colleagues in the Department of Water Affairs. If someone who's mining and in the process of mining exercises those transgressions that we have to do. That is a clear case of transgression. And that is not the intention of the provision. The provision caters for one exploration. At the exploration stage, you do not necessarily always need water. The water you license to undertake exploration. Two, there are instances of mining where you can have what is called dry mining. And that's okay. That happens in this country. That happens in other parts of the world as well. And so that provision has to cater for both instances where water is not necessarily a primary for mining to take place. However, what we perhaps need to just also think about is how do we close that loop together with the relevant water affairs colleagues to ensure that the transgressions are not precise or emerge as a result of mining activity.
Well, I was in the main, I think, also applying my thinking to the fact that there's environmental issue involved. And I think that was last week found to apply for an environmental authorization in terms of environmental damage and another before. I don't want to go into the portfolio because that situation is out of control. Right? Now what I want to understand is how does that cause then safeguards or rather ensure a stringent security of the environment at the same time. I don't know what the water issues say in terms of the use of water. Perhaps there could be somebody to specify what really is used for water, right? But if you look at that in particular, it doesn't make you feel comfortable in terms of legislation to say in an instant where the water is then used incorrectly and the license is already been issued, what happens?
Our understanding is that the National Water Act remains administered in terms of use of water is administered in terms of the National Water Act as administered by the Department of Water, and that contains those rules of and that's why the application is processed by the Department of Water. and contained in the water use license. It has a clear directive of what that water will be used for, what volume should be consumed, and so on. And any transgression to the conditions of the water use license is not administered in terms of the NPM, but in terms of the National Water Act as administered by the water, by the Department of Water. I would ask my...
Yes, another thing.
Yeah.
Sexy. A lot of concerns of water being risks of water being contaminated. How can I just secure with that process?
If I may, this clause does not... The intention of this clause is not to usurp the provisions or powers of the various national water or this. The reason why we inserted these provisions here should be to achieve the land and give effect to the maxims, I think, which basically was, you know, raised the concern of an applicant issue with the mining land, but that applicant then being found to not be in compliance with the other issues of that, which be the National Water Act or NEMA. So this provision does in no way try and usurp the powers of the National Water Act or NEMA. Ensuring that we, from the prospecting exploration stage, achieve that alignment. And that is why we introduce it. Throughout the pearl, there will be other provisions. The next information that will be dealt with by the government also deals with that alignment. It's not, we're not trying to have an information here that speaks to all the issues relating to the National Water Act or NEMA. It's something to achieve the alignment that I'm not going to do myself.
To achieve the alignment of fishing license.
Yes.
End of story. Yes. The rest is not your concern.
Mm-hmm. Yes. No, I'm asking. No, I'm asking.
I think the problem arose that the Department of Water Affairs weren't issuing licenses or not issuing licenses fast enough.
Yes.
The Department of Minerals would issue their license, their rights, their permit, and the mining companies would do some sort of mining, and await the water license. While mining.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think there's 2 months to say you won't get your permit or right until you have obtained a water use. Sorry, all the other
if you need to do
an environmental.
That's why the issue in environment is the CMR
question. So unless you ask a specific question on shale gas, we will really like at an appropriate time to bring the regulations that we have developed in respect of shale gas and the extent to which these regulations seek to protect water resources in the development of shale resources in the country. So this provision, as it stands, it may not necessarily be a shale gas specific provision or a commodity specific provision. However, we do have a comprehensive approach to the shale gas development that, at the right time, we would like to bring to the committee once we have gone through the process we are carrying out.
But my problem is in a past. And it's going to be applicable to that as well, you see. And then later on, we get the regulation. I hear what you say in terms of that clause only being relevant to the fact that you have seen mining issues there. Right? I hear you. But how is that going to be accommodating of everyone in the industry? If you are showing me, I'm then going to bring the regulation later. At this point in time for me to say I support that, and yet there's a sense of which there's some are going to be excluded there. Okay. Other questions?
That is our biggest contention at the moment, that we're legislating without seeing the regulation. Because I think it should have been that the regulation and the rule should have been hand in hand. So you know what the contemplators regulations are. And how you are basically legislating in a vacuum. Exactly the point you make. But the issue which needs to be factored in and because it deals with a lot of legislative substantive issues, law violence would indicate whether that would be so, but there are bills where it says regulations to be approved by Parliament as and when
my colleague covers me, particularly with the point with regard to us not being able to understand the legislation fully unless we know the regulation. But leaving so much up to regulation, we don't really know what the policy is.
Parliament requires for it to come back to the committee that does consider the election, for it to come back before it's consideration for the interim clause. So that can be written into the election clause before it becomes to the
committee.
I said the each committee that considers the regulation has in legislation there is precedent for regulation to come back to Parliament to be approved before it becomes effective. So that can certainly be an amendment that this committee approves to be added to both.
If you're in fact, I think there's a delegated legislative subcommittee that deals with delegated legislation such as these, so it would be very viable to substitute on the advice of the state advisor that requires that committee and all this committee.
Chair, I also want to say from a drafting perspective, from a legislative perspective, it's entirely in the discretion of the committee to consider that requirement whether those regulations must be submitted to Parliament for notification or for resolution for that before it's related or before it's issued for that matter. I'm not sure if the context of it, and they must be empowering provision for those regulations.
Look, for me, I'm an ordinary citizen, right? I have a home shed in the farm. Next door to my farm, there's a mine. Whatever mine. Open transport, closed transport, whatever transport to call it. Or whatever commodity to mine. I have a river on the outside, or a dam. We share the water. I use it for grazing, for agricultural reasons. That's why we use this for mining. What they do inside that mine in terms of drinking the water or cleaning their goods there or whatever the case is, I don't know, but they're using the same water that I'm using. My worry about that cost there is that does it mean DMR issues this license because it has to fulfill its requirements in terms of those issues, that cost, and Bangladesh, also the language. That's what I want to understand.
Not at all, Honorable Chair. I think the Honorable Smith explained it very well, that we are not proposing here that PMR must now issue water use licenses and the conditions under which water use. That remains the responsibility of the Department of Water Affairs. What that clause does, it streamlines the processes of applying for a right in the DMR, and the Department of Water Affairs issuing a water use license. But the Department of Water Affairs has the conditions for which this license must be used for, and it administers the those conditions. It does what we would call the inspections in our case, compliance inspections, to ensure that in the scenario that you painted, that your mining labor remains compliant to the terms and conditions as contained in the water use license and contract. So all of that is a competence that does not reside within the DMR. It is a competence of the Water Affairs Department. And I think that it is important to appreciate that this clause is not about the administration of Godhead. This clause is about synchronization and streamlining of processes. To the extent that an active right holder that has a water use license remains must comply with the license conditions as granted by the Department of Water Affairs. And so I can give you the assurance that the Department of Water Affairs has an obligation to protect the water use and administer the issues of contamination and so on as a result of those who are using that water. And remains entirely their prerogative to undertake those inspections and ensure that compliance by water use license holders is in place.
My biggest problem with those, and say, the fact that it says to consult in the prescribed manner of the landowner or occupier, and any interested, and it takes away any interested, because I'm still back at, for instance, the Center for Environmental Rights, saying we're not consulted. There are institutions which, in my view, are interested, they're not affected directly, but they have an interest. The Mokman Group, where it is, but all those interested NGOs or individuals have interest in a particular mining application. And now you're basically excluding them because they're not affected. If I'm a CR or any of those NGOs, I would like to be classified as an interested party on the basis of what my NGO stands for. And I don't understand the exclusion.
Besides, if you look at if you look at issues of community interest, right? We have a meeting that reports that what has been contaminated, in the meantime, the any interest is taken out. How do you come to that?
Honorable Chair, Honorable Smith, that clause must be read in conjunction with Section 10. Because you can't read that clause in isolation. So if you are an interested party, a community or CDR or any other NGO, who is aggrieved by implementing this law, you are sufficiently provided for in terms of this deed to register your grievance with the department. And for that grievance to be addressed as it was discussed this morning.
Mm-hmm. But I still don't get the reason why it's excluded. If it has to be read with Section 10, so be it. But why is it excluded? Why is it as always been there? Why have you decided to exclude the word interest? Because if what you're saying is so, then by all means, keep the word in. My question is, why are you taking it out? And even just the word said, take out the word and affected by it. So it's also covered by it.
When
you
say it in conjunction with the reference to 1827, they must be all together. But does it answer the issue of the exclusion of interested parties?
Well, our argument is that if you are agreed in terms of any provision of the Act, you are sufficiently covered by those provisions, 10, 15, 22, and the other one. And that we do not have any chance to make reference to the affected party or interested party.
But now the meaning is changed.
Does it?
Yes. Oh, am I understanding it correctly? The meaning changes. Remember that each clause is an act anyway. If you're not specific to the T as to what you're saying, you could take it for granted that you're not saying it. Concentration stage. Concentration with Jesus is an effect. He also tells us in our traditions, in our traditions. He said, concentration is a two from the first process, you then interested in any certain way. There's no limit in terms of the number of moments in every show that you are checked in some way. If you have an either CR supplied out from Cape Town, where they gave and go to Pumalanga and raise their concern as an interest or that cross-cutting process will now focus on center on those stakeholders who are affected by it. So it's two problems in that sense. First, it's everyone. Then, simply you now zoom in on the affected landowners. And you see in 60, it actually manifests. So you can't, in a two-pronged consultation process, continue to consult everyone. That's why you have this broad consultation process in 10, where everyone is included. And you now focus on those parties who are directly impacted upon by the application. So you are catered for, the NGOs and all the other groups are catered for, and then you can't continue to be, and it's an acceptable procedure. It's not that we're introducing something here that's not acceptable in other regulations.
My response to you is, we're heritage society, we've been included after the first round of interest and affection, completion of that form and the first meeting. So they can come to that meeting, interest and affected party meeting, which that mine company has, give your grievances. They write it down, this is what Schmidt said, and this is what Sam Sayers said. And is that I envisage the input of this said Malcolm Booker got to the side, because that is what he's saying. And then any other consultation from there on, those without let's say Malcolm Booker everything decide to listen. They must have more knowledge and information than the collective wisdom of everyone affected by the particular application.
I think Mr. Schmidt is speaking to the process, like the how we go about the conversation process. And in some of the submissions to Parliament, he has indicated that we will have to review that and specify a more detailed process in relation to terms of how we go about the notifying interested and affected persons. Putting up notices, not the schools, where you put up the notices, the local dialects, all that we need to change to ensure that first round is much more effective and cases for everyone. The process that we've considered that we need to be. But in the many issues of hand, you can have everyone and then things more focused on stakeholders who are impacted by the application. We believe that is key.
That's exactly my problem, because in the Eastern Labotan group, there is a regular example. The affected landowner has less knowledge than the group where everything is like that, because they've got all this accumulated wisdom, which is required, in my view, to come to a proper decision. Was you are limiting it only to affected parties. Affected parties with exclusion, if I understand correctly, of a group where in that particular instance. I'm not denying you two-pronged process, I'm just saying in that two-pronged process, you need to keep on consulting, in that instance, somehow, with interested parties who in certain instances have more knowledge, more input, than the affected owners themselves. Because it is not a local issue, it is a national issue, whether Martin Bukwe or Zorbenian Sand or whatever, it's not an issue only for landowners. It is an issue for, let's call it a national organizations such as Olopini, whatever you call them, the Open Group of Trust, the Refugee Society. That's what comes out of it. Imanyama, all the issues.
No, I'm just also repeating the Imanyama case. I wish you could have had more copies of this. I just wanted to ask the members, not the department, ask Because these are sections that apply to section 10, 16, and 22. Yes. If you read it very quickly, there's actually a recommendation or a proposal at the end to say what would be wrong in us then adding to section 10. Section 10, I think, ends at point 3, isn't it? 10, 3, the last point. I'll just ask this when you read the rest of the page for a second. That we add that the minister must make regulations on such commitments. The manner and form in which an interested or affected person will be informed of an application for a right to terms of peace. Right? Sorry? Okay. B. The information that has to be disclosed to enable the interested or affected person to make an informed decision. And C. The manner and form of consultation required with such interested or affected person be added. Did you get a copy? Let's give them a copy as well. Sorry, they don't show us the
experience.
No, it's not actually the last because there are already conversations in this. But if you look at those two, four pages, no? Which are talking to the consultant services, actually that address the fact that, generally speaking, the complaint was that the communities are not being included. As one of the parties. Now, the communities have been included as one of the parties. Or there's a certain feeling that the some people have been excluded in it, which they are concerned about. That there's an inclusion instead rather than exclusion. And that's in terms of that concept. Well, I'm just putting it to the committee, and I'm sort of working on that.
Madam Chair, what I'm trying to understand is whether, in terms of this, there will be less opportunity for example, an environmental NGO to enter into the process than there has been up until now. In which case, it limits their scope of action. I think that's the key.
The law that is not going to help our ability to
to do what is what is intended. Also, if the subject of a endless legal interpretation, that's not the fear. Because we said that crafting is, it should improve the state capacity to can prepare change for. So you hide with some process in this really doesn't help to feeling entertain the law in another one. That's my fear.
Fear accepted? Can shock that? Yeah, we're still gonna go in and when you find a life of including one you could. Okay, then I'm taking care of section 10. We're taking care of you can also bring the air for this. And if you feel like I'm gonna give us another game, you might have to. They give it a shot now, then, yeah. Yeah. The members are giving their side of the story.
Yeah. I was short on the proposal, of course, we will study it again tonight. But is that it provides for us to, you know, give that better direction on issues of consultation through the development of regulations that will clearly outline what processes, what steps are followed, who's involved, and all of those things. And we think that it's very progressive. You know, where it best resides in the law, something that we can perhaps come there with tomorrow. But perhaps also to humbly request the committee to consider that indeed an ending consultation can have unintended ramifications as well. And that there's got to be a balance to the extent to which respect of the consultations are undertaken in a meaningful way, and that stakeholders are brought on board, but the line has got to be drawn somewhere. Where development also has to happen, balanced with the concerns that are raised by stakeholders. And that as we consider these issues of consultation, we keep in mind that that line, you know, can be drawn, that development did happen in a responsible manner. But it will be a sad day when this consultation creates or brings the mining industry to a state of catatonic development, of no development whatsoever, as it has been the case in this country for some commodities. Thank you.
Rogers, can we go on? Section 17.
Thank you. The next proposal is that in section 17, subsection 1, where the proposal is for the intention of the insertion of the terminal study again when it comes to then the water use license that they talked about in terms of the index. Some applications not necessarily need then the application for water use license. I think we'll discuss that.
You will notice that the previous provision there was basically saying the applicant has the ability to comply with the relevant provisions of the National Water Act. It's not within the department's mandate to ensure compliance with the National Water Act. So we reworked that message to say you submit proof that you have applied for the water. We unable to form false consciousness in terms of the other people. Especially when you see that this perspective consciousness has been throughout the world. I think it's important that we explain that now, so the way it is that information will be shared.
But then it also means that it's because, like you say, the African must come with proof. So if that proof is not submitted, then you can't continue processing the license for that African. That's your commitment in terms of TMR process. The requirements, right? Any comments? Can I continue? Yeah.
Thank you. The next comment is as indicated above in terms of then the concentration of rice or mineral resources, we are moving on reference towards that principle. As indicated that it is given for in other legislation, in the legislation of that aspect.
Thanks
for the
right, even though the application does not necessarily comply with the requirements, like the necessary requirements for approval of a new or other prospective master or reserve and mining rights. And it basically just removes the minister's ability to then properly evaluate this application and apply your mind and ensure that the applicant does in fact comply with the requirements prior to granting. So basically, the intention is to remove the word and be granted so that minister can have that ability to then also review those applications or other processes to get the applicant to comply with the necessary requirements for the new order of the prospecting act or the mining rights.
Of the
because no one else can apply. But obviously, for you to be able to transition, their compliance is still required.
This is not a concession, this is an extension, a renewal. So it's not a concession.
Yeah.
Concession is when you go to your mining rights place and then say, let me now apply, and it's been applied, it's requirement. But this is for renewal based on the indication that you conform with the conditions as in deficit.
You may recall the Honourable this morning we spoke at length on Section 11 and what happened under Section 11. Let me project to you a scenario similar to the Section 11 argument we had this morning. That someone applies today, they have the right, and then they will change those terms. But if you leave this thing as is, you are saying it is okay that people remain being non-compliant and you must automatically grant them, and the minister must grant them. And so what we are now saying is that whereas exclusivity remains part of the provision, but you've got to have checks and balances in place, given the, now that we have this benefit of jurisprudence over 10 years, we know what happened, and we would really seek your support that we really protect the integrity of the mining business.
Thank you. A speaks to renewal, B speaks to the Greek A and B. A speaks to renewal, and B speaks to the transition that Mr. Mabuzal has been asking.
Mineral that are sold, and there is in fact a whole mine. arising that takes place under the disguise of Balsam. Now we won't say which list and thing and all of it. but there are many other examples like that. But the reason that there was specific reference to diamonds is precisely because that was the practice evident in the diamond industry. But now we find that people in chrome and other commodities undertake this unending balsam as a way to delay or not apply for a license.
So the prospecting
guys
are unlimited, or these other things
there is honorable, but you know what happens is you get to a certain stage of prospecting.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at a prospecting value chain, from green fields to advanced exploration, and at the stage of advanced exploration, that's where correctly there must be pre-feasibility and there must be feasibility studies. And for pre-feasibility and feasibility to happen, there must be some element of balsam. There must be. Now the problem is there is abuse of this balsam. And this can happen pretty quickly. And, you know, even with the time frame that you have for prospecting, you then find that there's renewal, and if you make that renewal automatic and the minister must grant it, and then someone is prospecting and they apply for a balsam claim, then they must apply to the minister for renewal. In the way that clause was captured, then the minister has no choice but to renew that prospecting right without consideration of all these things. And then they continue balsam. I think that is part of the problem. And so that clause read together with this one, then you would understand that we still make room for balsam to take place, but necessary authorization must precede any form of balsam with clear determination of what volumes you want to move out of the ground and for what purpose and so on. Thank you.
Would you, in such an extent, then be able to say inspection takes place appropriate in terms of GEMA? Inspection now.
Inspection.
Yeah, issue the license. They're doing their work. In such an instance, would you be able to act on time, for me to put it that way, to say, now I've been going to inspect and check what's with me there.
I think the reason we come to the committee on our chair and presented motivation for augmentation of capacity is precisely so that we can inspect and enforce the law better. And we encourage that there is incremental resources for us to augment that capacity for enforcement. We secured some resources this year. And there is any further work in progress within the department that is to further strengthen and augment the enforcement capacity to ensure that not only this trust, but that we are able to constantly inspect and ensure optimal levels of compliance. I think we have come to the committee and presented that and made the most of the effort. Thank you.
Can we continue?
Thank you. The next highlight is aligning the application process for the term for the consent for bulk sampling with the application for prospecting rights. In Section 16.4F, in that before you make an application, Section 20, you must have had, like still when it comes to then the environmental authorization part, in that you must have had that in Section 16, which is an application for protection rights.
Continue.
my application process that we now in terms of the current law, as there will be a regular period open for applications to be launched.
Can I push the speaker on a little more? The DMR pieces, I think I just went on link. I don't know where mine is. That's to apply new forms. When you're launching. Can you request that you give it a copy of that by tomorrow manifesting? Can I? So if you are watching.
The reason why I'm asking is that there's 40 days after that this one is supposed to be doing this, and after that this one is supposed to be doing that. So I then to take us through that process so that when we go through.
I don't think we all want it. That's the problem. We are the only one on step process. The reason is why I'm saying this. I think it's ensure you're joining us late and there's the understanding of being late. That the FCB are proper, because I do think that we do have something of similar nature that has to relate to us in fact more than one. It's a matter of research. She also wants a copy. She also wants a copy. You also want a copy. No, but I can see that, and I think that if you don't have any text that page, it could be a help for her to be able to deliberate appropriately on issues. Yeah, it's just got to be issued on our own. And I'm sure even in the site can get that process. Otherwise, we're going to get to the act eventually. Because if we're going to that process alone, it will be like the WhatsApp on its own. Which might not necessarily be accessible to the issue that we have to go through in the course. Will you help us with that then? And fellow comrades, members of parliament, for tomorrow, the areas that we haven't touched on, go ahead and do some reading.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's continue.
Thank you, Jeff. The next highlight is we have already discussed just technical amendments on credentials in terms of then the removal of the time frames and placing them in the regulations and replacing them with the prescribed period. And also we have already discussed the application for voting license where it is just in case that's in those decisions. An application for a mining right. So basically, we just discussed the main application for prospecting rights, and we are then putting in all the application sections 16, 22, 27. The next highlight is also the same, where we are indicating that the applicant where necessary must have a proof of application for what is like. The next one be basically excluding the in the initial we included a new version for further socioeconomic development in communities where sushi, where mining operations are taking place, or not necessarily where the operation is taking place, but where there is a challenge identified in the community nearby, where is the challenge identified, the minister can then request for direct that the mining rights holders then assist in those communities. And the input that we receive from stakeholders that, that may not necessarily be correct, and we cannot include that it would be an overburden in terms of the layer license condition. And it doesn't really form part of their license condition, so that it's not really appropriate, and we have appealed to them, and we propose to remove that requirement.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, I think the just in addition to what my colleague is saying, we were cautious of the potential unintended creation of this notion of enclave development, where enclave development being pockets of excellence of development in communities that are very proximal to mines. For instance, in the absence of clear definition of the extent to which the industry can contribute to socio-economic development, the industry has gone out and came up with an arbitrary radius of 50 kilometers around the mine. They had to come up with something, because what is the community? That's number one. Number two is that we linked this to district municipality level, so that and also we can enable companies that are operating within the same area to contribute towards a much greater impact project of socio-economic development. As it currently stands, every socio-economic contribution is looked at within the purview of that particular mining grant application. So if you have 10 large companies that are operating within the same area, that could club together in terms of their budget for socio-economic development, partner with government, and have a big impact project for development. The current law, as it stands, precludes that for them. And so we then thought that we need to rethink how this is crafted so that we can link socio-economic development with district municipalities, IDP, and enable companies to club together in operating in the same area, and perhaps agree on working on a very big project. If you take, for example, in 2012 alone, when we have conversations with the Chamber of Mines, they would say our members spend 1.3 billion in social and labor plan committees. And then we say, where? Can we go somewhere where you can show us this 1.3? But that's a lot of money. Not because they didn't spend it, but it's because really it's linked to a particular mining bank. And here is a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there. And so there is no demonstrable impact of the great contribution of the mining industry to development in the country. And so what we are then proposing with this shift is that let's create that environment where we can begin to demonstrate the significance of the contribution, tangible significance of the contribution of the industry to socio-economic development. Thank you.
Sorry, Member, there's an indication that there's a problem. Just a check. Just mention for the group, just to make sure for number 4. Okay, fine. What?
countries to or move into the development of constitutionalizing development there. Because development then are institutionalized. It should be quite clear where we invest and what. So there's that kind of a man in developing for that we guide development. So I think I like the point that.
But then the other issue is that if you had the opportunity for the project, just as it was water and environment, if you had the opportunity to try and get some in the future because of the conflict that you choose. Because I think even with others, you notice that when you go to our oversight, part of the fight between the community and the industry, they miss each other some way. You get the community trying to say we need water. You get the particular man saying that, no, but we didn't put water there, we put a school there. So there's a missing one point. But now also in the main, how is it seem to be augmenting the situation in terms of the integrity development and to ensure that they talk to each other? What is the can be a regulation, can be part of the echo, whatever. What regulations are taking place to ensure that there's alignment in terms of what the IGP says in particular?
Yeah, I think there's a very important point that we also need to be fair on. I think that there's generally an expectation that mining companies are responsible for their own in communities within which they operate. And it's something that we really need to, and I think that this will take us a long way in demonstrating that constitutionally mandated institutions of development remain responsible for development in communities. And that mining companies that operate within those areas then have a role to contribute to development. And that mining does not replace development responsibilities of ministry. I think that's the first important point we need to bring to the table. We held a workshop with the Malaga Authority late last year on these very issues, and if my memory serves me well, the COPTA was indeed well represented in that mining proposal, provincial mining proposal with the department. And led by Premier and his provincial leadership, as well as department led by the minister.
Now, Pumalanga or Pumalanga?
Okay.
Please continue.
Thank you. This doesn't switch on. And you know, it became very clear, emerging out of this mining quota that was convened by both the minister and the president, that, you know, issues of integration and management of expectations is one of the critical areas that we need to address through this debate. And we are of the opinion that the approach that we are looking for will significantly address those miscommunications that we also identified as members of the future. Key among those discussions was precisely this approach. There were quite a number of outcomes, but was this approach that, you know, integration, SLP integration. And that's why you saw us being a little bit nervous about this open-ended consultation. Because you go to that conference, you've got some structures that say, no, we want to have a say on the SLP. We want to see it in the departmental SLP application process. You know, can we really have the rule of law if everybody has a say on how things are done? Or can we affirm up on how? how we do things, so that we do allow people to have a contribution in the, you know, in the rule of law. But there is an element of responsibility and accountability that is perhaps appropriate. And this model we tested during the consultation in the province. And I'm confident that as we roll it out in consultation, of course, with the relevant government structures, it is the best development model ever to the benefit of the country community, for the mining industry in particular. We believe that this is a model that would make communities be proud of the contribution that indeed mining companies can and do make to change their lives.
You look at an example of a model in Umana. Ashish is an example of a model in Mpopo. We must just be careful of each one now having their own model, and we should start that thing. How is that going to interface for the country?
No, the IDP, because we are saying that every district municipality by law must have an integrated development plan. That's what we are saying. That's what this model is saying. Whether you are in Mpopo or Umana, at a district level, everybody must have an integrated development plan. And that integrated development plan sets the tone for priority development within the district municipality. And so, as we were saying, that, you know, the municipality remains responsible for issues of development. If there is mining that takes place in that area, then you are able to augment the provision of socio-economic development budget of each mining company and contribute to the IDC development project.
Could this then be part of what we could expect in terms of changes when it comes to the mining side? Because there are issues there in terms of reporting and the method of reporting that could be applicable then to the issues talking to the IDP. For the integrated, for the economic development plan.
Indeed, Madam Chair, there are components of the Charter that have elements of socio-economic development. And, you know, this will be subject to the review, this integration to this model. But then we bring in the alignment of, in reviewing the Charter, then align it to this model of development that is being proposed.
How can I just answer you?
This is a commitment we made to Parliament.
The other issue I think there that you need to have a look at is the fact that junior miners, top miners, there's very affordability issues. How's the balance issue?
Well, your social and labor play commitment does not say, you know, everybody contribute 2 rands or everybody contribute, say, 100 million. That's not how it works. It's differentiated and it's determined on the basis of an application and it's considered on the strength of the applicant and the project that is being pursued. You can't call yourself a small miner when you are going to open a $10.5 billion mine. You know, it just doesn't correspond. So everyone will be evaluated in terms of the project ahead. And remember how LFP projects work. They are applicable for 5 years. And they are reviewed every 5 years. And so, you know, we look at the project in the first 5 years, and as part of it, of the augmented inspectorate in the department, will be evaluating the progress and make a new determination in the next 5 years. And we really think that there is willingness from mining companies in particular to take this approach of, you know, saying that if the mining companies are saying, but wait a minute, if I now contribute to a centralized scheme, I now risk my license to operate. I'm not interested. And that's what the current block is actually. And so with this bill, we are saying, let's make it possible for mining companies to be able to
get where necessary and optimize development impact of the mining industry with Israel area. And we believe it's possible, and the industry believes it's possible. And we think that this would really be a wonderful opportunity for us to change the perceptions of development and the contribution of the mining industry to development.
Next question.
Thanks, Jeff. The next highlight is that reference would be the principle of concentration, which you indicated earlier on as the activity function role. And the next highlight is also referring to another item that indicated before, the we are maintaining to indicate the application for the
working for that.